This morning's scripture lesson comes from Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. As you'll hear in just a moment, it begins, "Now when Jesus heard this," I think it's helpful to know what it is that Jesus has just heard, even though the lectionary doesn't provide it. Just before this passage, we read of the death of John the Baptist, who was killed by Herod. "Now when Jesus had heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves.' And Jesus said to them, 'They need not go away. You give them something to eat.' The disciples replied, 'But we have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, 'Bring them here to me.' And then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children." These are our sacred stories. Five loaves and 2 fish and 5,000, not counting women and children, are fed. After the meal, there are 12 baskets full of leftovers. This story is familiar. This miracle math is well known. What may not be as known, however, is the feeding story in the very next chapter. In Matthew 15, beginning with verse 32, we read, "Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, 'I have compassion for the crowd because they've been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way.' The disciples said to him, 'Where are we going to get enough bread in the desert to feed so many?' And Jesus asked, 'How many loaves do you have?' And they said, 7 and a few fish. And then ordering the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and after giving thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all of them ate and were filled. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. Those who had eaten were 4,000 men, besides women and children." This story is almost identical, yet the math has changed. 7 loaves of bread and a few fish feed 4,000, not counting women and children. When they've eaten their fill, there are 7 baskets of leftovers. These two feeding stories form an inclusio and beg us to consider what is being bracketed. Perhaps it's not surprising that these two feeding stories are separated by narratives connected to eating and table. Shortly after the 5 loaves and 2 fish feeding thousands, Jesus gets into a debate with the scribes and the Pharisees concerning food laws. Jesus says, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles. Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth proceeds to the stomach and then goes into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands, this does not defile." The debate continues until, I quote, "Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, son of David, that my daughter will be healed. She's tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." And Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table." And then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. From this encounter with the woman, Jesus goes up a mountain. He's followed by crowds. He heals and teaches, and then, having compassion on them, he feeds the hungry thousand with 7 loaves of bread and a few fish. Sandwiched between these 2 miracles where thousands are fed, Matthew gives us a very human Jesus interacting with the Canaanite woman. Jesus is callous, prejudiced, and cruel to the Canaanite woman. Matthew's choice of word Canaanite is meaningful. By the time of Jesus, people were no longer called Canaanites. This name was no longer on any map. Matthew chooses Canaanite on purpose. This woman is part of an enemy people, a long acknowledged, culturally approved enemy. Jesus' prejudice is not of a moment. This is the prejudice of a lifetime, the prejudice of many generations, the prejudice of an entire culture, the kind that seeps into our bones and is there whether we acknowledge it or not. This kind of prejudice has Jesus calling this woman a dog. The same Jesus who's welcomed outcasts and sinners, who's looked with compassion on crowd after crowd, who's healed and fed and taught, begins by offering this woman nothing at all, and then only insults. Listen and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles. What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. When Jesus meets the Canaanite woman, his heart speaks through his mouth, and his prejudice is out in the open. "I came for the lost sheep of Israel, not for the dogs." Jesus does not know this woman, except in the way that any of us know the other, the one held in contempt by our prejudice. But she seems to know Jesus. While not of his religion, she addresses him as son of David. She begs him to heal her daughter. The disciples want nothing to do with her. "Send her away," they tell Jesus. That's what they tried to do not long ago when faced with more than 5,000 hungry people. Send the crowds away. Only that time, Jesus, filled with grief for his cousin John, Jesus has compassion on the crowd. "You give them something to eat." Where is that care and compassion now? Jesus, who fed thousands, who's kept table with those considered unworthy, this same Jesus tells this desperate woman, "It is not fair to take children's food and throw it to the dogs." But the Canaanite woman is undaunted. The life of her daughter is at stake. She picks up his words and throws them right back. "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table." When Jesus hears this, something in him changes. "Woman, great is your faith," he says. But she simply spoke the truth. The children have been fed, 5,000 men besides women and children, 12 baskets of food left over, 12 baskets for the 12 tribes of Israel. Surely the feeding doesn't stop there. Surely, the woman says, surely there's enough for me and my daughter. And Jesus, the woman found an opportunity for her daughter to be healed. And in this woman, Jesus found an opportunity to be healed of his own racism, arrogance, and cruelty. Jesus was converted that day to a larger vision of the realm of God. Jesus saw and heard a fuller revelation of God in the voice and the face of that Canaanite woman. Matthew is telling us something with these feeding stories, something much more powerful than the magic or miracle of enough food for a gathered crowd. In the second feeding story, just after Jesus' encounter with the Canaanite woman, 7 loaves of bread and a few fish feed 4,000 plus women and children. And then there are 7 baskets of leftovers. 7 is the number of wholeness, completeness, the number encompassing all the nations. Matthew has surrounded the story of Jesus and the Canaanite woman with feeding stories, one with 12 baskets of leftovers, 12 for the 12 tribes of Israel, and the other after Jesus' prejudice are exposed and turned to compassion, with 7 baskets of leftovers. 7 for all the nations, everyone, all. The Canaanite woman taught Jesus that she and her daughter deserved to be welcomed to the table. After this encounter, Jesus goes on to feed those who had not yet been fed, opening his compassion and his welcome. Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles. What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. People's hearts are speaking in the legislature, on city streets and radio stations, in special sessions and press briefings, social media. We're hearing fear and hate pour from hearts through mouths and Twitter accounts. The Canaanite woman bravely challenges the prejudice pouring from Jesus' mouth, from his heart. She confronts him with his own hypocrisy, much as Jesus has done for the religious leaders over and over. The real miracle in these stories may just be that Jesus listens. He sees his fear and his bias, and he changes. Where do we need to be the Canaanite woman, speaking for justice, speaking for those who are being maligned, abused, speaking for our trans siblings, for immigrants, for women's health, for Black lives? And where and when do we need to be Jesus, willing to look at our own hearts, examine what comes from our mouths, confronting our bias and our own hatred, and being willing to change? Love your enemies. Jesus's ideal is hard to live into, hard even for Jesus, but it is no less necessary for being difficult. And it is difficult. How do we love those who hate? How do we love those using God as an excuse for slander, rejection, abuse, injustice? Love. Love, not emotional bosh, strong, demanding love. The Canaanite woman loved Jesus. Jesus loved the religious leaders. Love confronts injustice. Love won't let prejudice, fear, and hatred have the last word, the last act. Love. Amen.